So Beast Place, I think it's October 10th. Roger that. October 10th. Last night, I watched a movie on Netflix, kind of a documentary thing that wasn't what I expected it was going to be. It was one of those like David Attenborough, Life on Earth type things. He's made some great movies, first of all. Who's David Attenborough? David Attenborough is an upper-class twit. And it shows in this movie. Now, that's my thesis, but I'll get to that. He's actually made some really great nature documentary type things. I mean, the guy has a great voice. He really cares, and this is a problem, actually, really cares about the animals and what he's doing. He's passionate and shines through in all his work. There's a book called Life on Earth that's published. Lots of really cool pictures. I mean, this guy, they made this in the 70s. They went to like 39 countries, flew like millions of miles, films like, and the great thing about these nature shows is even they can take you places you would never and could never go. All right. Unless you're like a millionaire. And even then, right? Even if you got all the money to hire the guides and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, you still, some of these things are like personal hardship, right? So you're like one of these pampered billionaire, millionaire types, and it's like, okay, well, this is the part where you have to carry your own pack. What? Yeah, there's no other way. Or it's like, this is going to be cold, and you have to walk down this, like, whatever. Or it's just gonna, you're just gonna be cold for like 3 weeks. You know, there's a bunch. Then there's some places that like legally you can't go. Antarctica. That's sort of like a no-go zone on Earth. Only like the chosen scientists are allowed to go to Antarctica, which makes me wonder, like, what is really there? Because everything you see is exactly what you'd expect: lots of ice and snow, penguins, leopard seals. And then some like scientific blah, blah, blahs. But like, is there something else weird going on there that no one's allowed to go? You know, it's like, dude, if I have money, why can't I? Nobody owns it. Why am I not allowed to go somewhere nobody owns it? No one's going to build a house there. Okay. For a couple reasons. One of which is you get, and I've read this from people that do get the licenses to go. Like one guy, so you can go. Like the one guy walked to the South Pole or something. And there's like aided and unaided walking. I don't know. So whatever. And that dude said that if you forget to put sunblock on underneath your clothes. Now, these are clothes you're using in Antarctica, which is, first of all, you're not getting the super powerful sun you get at the equator. And second of all, they're really thick. You know, think about a ski outfit. You're getting sunburnt through a ski outfit. We got, is that, how's that? I don't understand the question of how that's even possible. So you wouldn't want to go there. Anyway, all right, moving on. David Attenborough, really awesome documentaries. I saw David Attenborough on this new one. There's Blue Planet, which is really cool, which is like stuff about the ocean. One thing that's weird about the ocean is what he said is that most of it's like a desert. There's nothing there. It's just water. So the preponderance of the ocean is more or less empty of life. And then every once in a while, and he goes into this, he talks about like the reasons why. And I'm not going to try to parallel, I'll get it kind of wrong. But that was, you know, and I knew that already, but it's so crazy. He showed a map of like where there's enough algae to support life. And it's not, man, it's like 10%, something like this small. Small amount. Like it, they, when they were doing this, they were really talking about the Pacific. But, you know, I've been out in the open ocean, in the Atlantic, in the Mediterranean, in the Indian Ocean, and other, a couple of other places. I don't know. You know, you can't see anything. Most of the water out, if you're just out in the middle of the Atlantic, it's not terribly clear. I don't know what's obscuring it, because if you go to like Gulf of Aqaba, the water is perfectly clear. You can see the front of boats have this thing that protrudes forward. If you've seen on a trium this thing and you think, oh, it's a ram, it's not. It has something to do with the water, the doggone thing gliding through water. You can see that thing that sticks out in front. I don't. It does something with the, you know, not water dynamic, not aerodynamics, but hydrodynamics. And but if you're out in the middle of the Atlantic, it is not that water. It's like this blue, dark blue color. It's very different. Okay, moving on. So, and then that part of it is totally, he delivers. He delivers the voice. He delivers the passion. He delivers the cool nature pics and like animal pics. But then this is like, he's 93. He's about to die. So this is sort of like his last sort of thing. And this is why I call him an upper class twit. He's, and I maybe I'm a little harsh, but I'm going to stick to it. He's a super environmentalist. And automatically, when I hear that, I'm kind of like, Now, that being said, I'm not a moron. I'd rather have clean energy than coal, and we'll get into this. But it's just something about it that rubs me the wrong way, and I don't understand. It doesn't make any logical sense. In any case, like if it were up to me, I think we have the cure for climate change. Whether or not you believe it's real, we should definitely switch to nuclear power. Do you know why? Because if burning coal doesn't actually heat up the world, is going to lend to the apocalypse, it's still sending out particulates. And it's still like you're using a lot of technology to like scrub it. And then what are you doing with that? You have all this like soot. Where are you going to put it? What are you going to do with it? And then you're like, but bro, nuclear, yeah, no, it's just cleaner. Okay, yeah, Fukushima, yeah, Chernobyl. But France gets 80% of its electricity from nuclear power. We could too. It's just because of it's our legal system that prevents it. The United States legal system is preventing action on climate change because of how litigious we are. It's created an environment where nuclear power plants have strict liability, meaning even if they do everything 100% correct, and like this is a literal situation, this is what I'm going to take it to the very extreme. God comes down and causes the meltdown, tells everyone on Earth, I'm going to melt this thing down because I feel like it, because I'm God, and a couple people get hurt. The nuclear facility is still liable. So nobody wants to do it because even if they do everything right, if something happens, what they call like act of God or act of nature, lightning strike, there's an earthquake. There's never been an earthquake where they built this thing ever in human recorded history going back. This is the United States. We're going back to Native Americans, right? They were like, they used to call it land of placid earth, meaning it never shook. And there's an earthquake and it causes a meltdown. Guess what? You're liable. So lawyers are causing climate change if you want to look at it that way. Okay, so either case, so that, I don't know, whatever. So, all right, so I'm watching the show, and at first it's like, he talks about his journey, and you can kind of see where he comes from, where he sometimes kind of gets his things he says and blah, blah, blah. But let me just say something first. It's that whenever you're a specialist in something, you tend to like overreact. So what do I mean by that? I'm an economist and a finance guy by education. I was a management consultant, a helicopter pilot. Now I work in like kind of auditing. When I look at today's world with the coronavirus, the lockdown, and everything, all I see is macroeconomic indicators that are going to lead to the apocalypse. And I do not exaggerate when I say that I feel that way. I think we are heading to the point where our fiat money system, otherwise known as capitalism, is on the verge of collapse, meaning that we've taken all the gold we can for the philosopher's stone and we're about to not have any. And because we've built a world around this, there's going to be a period of adjustment, and that period of adjustment is going to might as well be the Holocaust, the apocalypse, or Holocaust, maybe. That's how the last one started, Weimar Republic. People didn't have money and they blamed it on Jewish people, and Jewish people ended up in internment camps. That we're like on the verge of that, okay? That in my mind. But I also understand that like that's the stuff I know about. I tend to exaggerate. Here's another example of this. I have an uncle, dermatologist. The guy looks like a vampire. Why? Because he doesn't go outside. When he drives, he wears something called a driving glove, which is this glove that'll like shield your arm all the way up to your shoulders, like what those basketball players do, but with the hand covered on your left hand, because that left arm driving gets most of the sun, and that's where a lot of the cancer shows up. Every time he goes outside for any period of time, over like a few minutes, no matter how hot it is, it's long sleeve shirt. Now they're baggy and they're dry fit and all that, but whatever. And he wears this like large long brim hat. He does wear shorts because I think that you don't really get a lot of sun on your legs somehow, as long as you're not laying out. But I mean, this guy's like, you should never go outside. Terrified of the sun. So I think that like, and so that's where I'm seeing, this guy's a specialist on animals, right? And it calls it natural history or, you know, zoology or evolutionary zoology, whatever. And he talks about like when he was a kid in 1937, he's 93 years old, so he's born in 1927. So he's like a 10-year-old kid. He talks about like there were this many people on Earth, as much carbon in the air. He doesn't harp on climate. He mentions climate change because I think it's like things, but that's not what he's worried about really. And then talks about how much wilderness that is. And he says like, hey man, back in 1937 when I was a kid, there were like 2 billion people and there was like this many parts per million of carbon and there was this much wilderness. And it goes from like something like 60% to 35%. And he's like, look, this is how much rainforest we've lost in Bernal Celebes in my lifetime. He's like, I've seen it with my own eyes. Like I went there I started my career in the 1950s, my 20s, and I saw like the forest like recede. The thing is, from the air, when you're flying, it's like it's all farmland. He views the farmland as not as good as forest. Being a pilot, I've flown all over the United States, all over the world. Most of the world is quote unquote green. Now, it's true that the suburbs from 1,000 feet look like forests. They're distinguishable, but barely. Most of the Middle East is wilderness. I mean, there's not much to it. It's desert, but it's wilderness. I'm not doubting what he's saying. I've never been to Bernal Celebes, but like, and I'm sure, you know, he talks about the Amazon rainforest. Mainly he's worried about animal, like biodiversity, because, and he's worried about that we're nearing an extinction level event caused by man. And it's going to be the 7th one. I'm like, dude, if it's already happened 6 times, how do we know we're not supposed to cause it? Do you know what I mean? Like, because humans are natural. There's nothing unnatural on Earth. So, I mean, we create some artificial things like a car. But if we, it's saying that a car is unnatural is sort of like saying that a beaver dam is. Do you know what I mean? Like, everything we do is part of nature. I know I'm getting like philosophically weird. But okay, let's take it a step back and I'll stop being weird. Caused by man. And we've definitely started putting carbon into the earth, but I don't know. So I'm not convinced really. I think we should act like, it's like Jordan Peterson talks about, the people ask him, do you believe in God? He does all this Bible stuff. He goes, he won't answer. What he says is, I act like it is real. So with climate change, we should act like it is real and isn't real simultaneously. We should act like it's real without really believing in it. Why? Because then we won't do anything stupid. Like, go, okay, no more. Like, California wants to get rid of all of their gas-powered cars. Their power grid today is ill-suited for the amount of the demand. Now you're going to add all the energy requirements of moving cars around to a power grid that's already underperforming. See what I mean? But if you act like it's real, but don't believe in it, what you're going to do is you're going to build a bunch of nuclear power plants, you're going to upgrade the system, and you'll move to electric cars. Once we do that, there'll still be reasons to use oil. The petrochemicals do a bunch of stuff, but we'll be able to get like cleaner stuff. Anyway, so, and then, all right, so let me get this, like what I'm saying, and why does he sound like an upper-class twit? Because so number one is, I think he's got that myopia of, I'm an expert in this, therefore that's what scares me. Secondly, he's got upper class vision. What does that mean? It means you don't have any real problems in your life. If this guy in the 1950s was traipsing around the world, he's upper class. There's no other way that he was pulling that off in post-war England without family money, right? You're in your 20s and you get to like fly to, not only fly to Indonesia, but then like have the money to buy the puddle jumpers and hire the guides and all that. Oh, you got the money for that? Oh, or even the connections to get you in a job that does that. You don't have any problems. You've never had a real problem in your life. Here's a real problem. I got to lower my cell phone bill because it's unaffordable. Okay, if you're worried about your cell phone bill, you may have a real problem. If you're worried about groceries, if you're worried about if you can maintain your diet you like, you may have a real problem. If your kids get free lunch at school, you have a real problem. Do you know what I'm saying? If you don't have those issues in your life, you're going to look further and further afield and get to stuff that isn't really real. And that's a huge problem we're having because our societies are being run by these people. Somehow we allowed billionaires and 100 millionaires, not even 1%, not even 1%ers. To get to the 1% is $250,000 a year. That guy might have real problems. $250,000 a year, you don't watch what you're doing with your money, you may have some real problems. Like, might be worse than the $50,000 a year guy that watches how he spends. You're $250,000 a year, you're like, oh, I'm always going to make more, I'm always going to make more. And suddenly it's like you lose that job. And that might be the only time you ever get that job. You know what I'm saying? So I'm saying like I think there's 3,000 billionaires. It says it in the show. And 30,000 people right below. Like it shows them talking to Davos and IMF and stuff like that. You're talking about like the rich of the rich of the rich who have no concept, I don't think at all, about a real issue. And maybe never in their lifetime have they ever had a real worry. They'll worry anyway because it's part of the human condition. They're still humans. They still have the same feelings you do. But if their mind doesn't, if there's not a real enemy, they'll construct one in their minds. I think in the United States politically, we see this with like white supremacy. That doesn't really exist. But yet people are terrified of it. I'm like, there's nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing there. Same thing with climate change. I'm not, you know, hey, it's this phantom thing. So I think he has that thing. And then he starts talking about, he's talking about like, hey, we're encroaching on the animal land and we should, you know, we need to have less kids so we can have more animals. And I'm like, third problem I have with him, you're placing trees over people. And there's a lot of people like this who would rather have a forest than have humans. I'd rather have humans. Now, some of this is racist because the humans they don't want. Because the humans are really like the East Asians and Europeans across the globe have basically stopped growing. Populations are actually kind of shrinking. The only populations that are growing today are like Indian and African, and I don't know about South America. So what you're saying is you want Africans to die off. Seriously, right? Now, they always put it as like, as a white person, I shouldn't have any kids. But what they really are saying is, I wish black people in Africa wouldn't have children. Bro, I mean, it doesn't say it directly, but that's what it means. That's what this guy's, this is like, and it's fun. Okay, fine. Like, in a lot of the places he's talking about, are where those people live. He's talking about like New Guinea, Papua New Guinea, Indonesia, Borneo. Those are like what you call indigenous populations, brown people. Like, hey, brown people, stop growing your populations. What is basically saying? All right, there you go. Same old whatever from like, you know, 1820. Same, the upper classes just don't change. All right, so, but I'd rather have people than trees. Now, you need trees, like, because one of his complaints is they cut down the rainforest and they planted a new forest, but they're all palm. It's like palm oil. They're palm trees. There's a problem with that. It's like, and it looks all, you can tell, like, it looks like it's live, but it's really not. And he's not incorrect. But again, I would rather have a situation that more people can live a better life than a situation where we get like more trees and like more orangutans, which he does the thing where he pronounces it orangutangu or something. You're like, dude, please stop. Use the colloquial pronunciation, please. Stop using the correct one from the area. It's like when people pronounce something in Spanish and they suddenly like change, like instead of saying Buenos Aires, like Buenos Aires. And you're like, dude, he does that. All right. So that's another thing I have. It's like, dude, people first. And he has a Malthusian outlook. He's like, look, we can only support so many people. There is a limit to how many people the earth can support, right? Because at some point, there'll be so many people that there'll be like 5 per square foot, and then it'll just be, you know, it'll be too much. Like if every square inch of dirt has to be covered in a high rise, there's no room for farming, right? Okay, we're nowhere near that number, all right? And the Malthusian theories on carrying capacity were disproven in the 18th century. Actually, the 19th, sorry. And then again, in the 1990s, a couple professors from University of Maryland basically made wagers, but it was like a study. It's like two guys, one believed in Malthusian sort of, meaning carrying capacity. Malthusian means there's a carrying capacity to the amount of dirt. Well, you know who else had those thoughts? And I'm not kidding. I'm not trying to be weird or funny here. Hitler. That was, why did they invade Russia? Partly to get rid of, because they thought Bolsheviks were evil. But that's secondary, and partly because they thought they were going to get attacked anyway. But the main purpose, like a Lebstrom or something, which is like he literally wanted the dirt because he didn't think they had enough dirt in Germany, because he believed the carrying capacity of Germany, there were too many Germans for the amount of dirt they had. And by the way, he made it real because he didn't believe in trade. So he was like, well, we can't have trade because that's stupid. And so we need our own dirt. We have to make all our own food, which Germany actually can't. And at the time, anyway. And so he had to invade whatever, Russia, well, I mean, everywhere. But Russia specifically, because they have tons and tons of dirt. So they would take the land from the Russian people so the German people could have the land so they'd survive. And they would thrive. And they would get rid of everybody else. Right? Now, that's not what David Attenborough is saying. But they have the same basic principle. And that basic principle is one square unit of dirt can support this many people. And that number is fixed. And we're running out of it. I don't believe that any of those things to be true. And it's been proven to be true. Untrue. It's not a belief. They are untrue. There is a maximum carrying capacity, like I said, but we're nowhere near it. All right. And I think more people, the more energy, the more creativity, the more just like goodness, and the better off we are. Well, what about wars? Well, yeah, but it don't matter. The world's like, I look at history and I see a non-stop fighting, just non-stop. It's like it never ends. The United States, I believe, was pretty much in perpetual war almost the entire time. There was a Wikipedia article that listed all the U.S. wars. And if you look, there was, I think, in 1848 or something, is like the only time there wasn't a war. And you're like, but what are you talking about, dude? American Revolutionary War, War of 1812. American Civil War. You missed the American-Mexican War. Mexican-American War. Right there. And then, like, World War One and, like, World War Two. Where are all these wars? The Banana Wars. The Indian Wars, which were, like, constantly at war with one Indian nation or another. Like, almost perpetually. From, like, the time we started to the time today. In fact, I believe the last Indian War ended in the 1920s. Ouch. So anyway, carrying capacity. And then he gets into like, what he's really worried about is, and there's a worry about overfishing, which is probably true. And there's a worry about lack of habitat, which again is true, but I would rather have people have the land than orangutans. That's where I'm like, okay, fine. Orangutans are going to die, but I'd rather have people have better lives and be more people than have more orangutans. If we can do both, that's great. But if we have to make a choice, the orangutan goes. It's the same way that I'm going to take my kid's side in a dispute at school. I don't care if he's right or wrong. I'm going to try the best outcome for him. Like a lawyer. I'm like a lawyer for humans. They're okay. Whenever I see people have those attitudes, I get kind of mad. And I'm not saying that we have to like strip mine every piece of dirt on Earth. But people first. Okay. Secondly, wherever I am. The next piece of this, he goes into like climate change stuff, and he thought, wouldn't it be great if we had solar energy? Wouldn't it be great if we had like geothermal and wind? And I'm like, yes, that's the dream. We're already trying to do it. No one disagrees with that, or do they? The problem is like implementation. We're not capable of it yet. We have to keep burning coal until we get to the point where something replaces it. We have a replacement technology. It's called nuclear energy, but people are scared of it. And we don't have it because we're scared. We have electric cars that work well enough today. All right? We could say, hey, here's what we're doing. We haven't said this. I mean, it blows my mind. We are no longer building coal-fired, oil-fired, or natural gas-fired power plants in the United States. Any new power plant has to be nuclear, because solar and wind are intermittent and unreliable. So we're still going to work on those, and then eventually we're going to phase out the nuclear. But for today, we're going to build nuclear. We're going to build a ton of those. And then once we've, like, all the new electricity we need is through nuclear, we're going to start replacing coal-fired. And once we get to that point, because you don't really – here's another kind of – you don't really want to replace gasoline-powered cars until you have clean energy making the electricity, because instead of burning gasoline, you're burning coal. That is a very bad trade-off. All right? Coal is very dirty. Natural gas, not as bad, but still, man, like, it's not ideal. You know, like, if you have a Tesla, especially on the East Coast, instead of burning gasoline, which is like, does, let's call it damage X, you're doing coal, which is damage like X plus Y. It's like extra harsh. Okay, but that's what we should do. And I'm like, dude, stick to what you know. Everything you said about the natural world stuff, I'm not disagreeing with you except for the Malthusian part. I'm just saying that we should take the people side instead of taking, and some of these places where this, the environmental degradation is happening, is super poor. And they're trying to get out of poverty. And they're worried about feeding. And they're worried about, like, political stability, not because of wokeism and, like, white supremacy, but because of poverty. Like, poverty is leading to, like, instability issues. Completely different thing. Like, just stick to what you know, dude. When you're sitting here, like, throwing out fanciful pie in the sky, like, man, wouldn't it be great if we had all solar energy? Yes, it would. I agree completely. Everybody does. Everybody. There's not a person on Earth that would go like, hey, man, well, there's some, like, people that really benefit from coal. And they're, like, not many. Everybody else would be like, solar today. If you told me, like, hey, man, we can flip a switch and we're just going to turn to solar. And from now on, every new car sold, we're like, no longer, car companies no longer build gas power cars. They're going to build electric, and we're going to have solar power and wind power and hydro and geoelectric. I'd be like, yes, please. And I think 95% of the country go, yes, please, because car companies don't care. Man, we can build electric cars. We can build gas power. What difference does it make? Right? You think about, like, what about, like, racing? And, like, yeah, you could still have gas power cars be like race cars. So that could be the cool thing about F1 is, like, dude, F1 is like a V12, like, burns like tons of gasoline, like, and it's exotic. You know, or you could buy like a, you could pay like some special tax, have a gas powered car because it's like a sports car and you like rev it, rum, rum. And you know what I mean? It could be something cool. Like, hey, instead of the special thing being the hybrid or the electric, you'd be like, dude, I got myself like a gas powered Mustang, dude. How cool is that? Yeah, dude, that's cool. It's like, ah, you know, I like electric. Because electric cars are actually like performance wise better. Because electric engine's torque is way, there's less spool. So anyway, just sort of stick to the script. And that's why, like, I view him as like, that's why I say like upper class twit. I felt like I was watching a Monty Python skit on some of the things he was saying, because it's like, you're talking about things you don't, aren't as expert in, and your views are telegraphed by your upper class status, All right, rich guy. And it's like, here's the other thing. I don't blame him. This is his life work, and he loves animals, and he loves, like, he goes back to the places of his youth, like his 20s, and he sees that it's gone. It's a subdivision. Like, what happened? I was here 20 years ago. I had a great time in the forest. I met this, like, tribe of people. No one had ever known. They'd been, like, isolated from humanity for 10,000, 30,000 years. I was one of the people that, like, met them for the first time. And now there's a Walmart. I get it. Overall, it's actually good. It's definitely... So those are my complaints, but... And they bothered me, so I want to talk about it. But that being said, it's actually just a great film. I would watch it just for, like, the nature beauty. And he talks about, like, what happened in the 50s. And it shows, like, old movie reels of him, you know, as a young man doing various stuff, like, various places. And it's cool. Like, it's fun. It meets the David Attenborough, like, life on Earth sort of... mystiques. And it's like, that's always been that way. Those guys have always been like, so, you know, I'm kind of harping on him for being an environmentalist. That's what he's always been. So, like, it's sort of like, it's my sort of my problem as far as that goes. Anyway, so I have, actually, you know, it's funny because this critique is like, man, listen to this idiot rich guy. Also, he's getting old. So I think he felt like he had to do, you know, put out something like this. I don't think it's very much I don't think it's virtue signaling. I think he really believes it. Is very sincere. He's not factually correct. Incorrect. Sorry. He's not factually incorrect. So it's not a bunch of lies. It's not him going like, I totally want to save the environment, but really you just want a new Gucci purse. Or you want people to like you. He doesn't care. He's 93. And he's trying to, like, he's like, man, I feel bad because the world I had, other people aren't going to have it. Like, do you don't understand, Nick? Like, yeah, okay, Borneo, so what? I'll tell you, so what? Maybe that's like, you know, and he says, like, and he brings up, like, Costa Rica as an example of, like, a success story where they managed to match environmentalism and benefiting humans at the same time, which is obviously what we all want to do. That's 100% there. I don't think we should take the view that, like, we will just shred the planet. And the other thing he talks about is sustainability, which is legitimate, by the way. Now, you hear sustainable and your eyes are going to roll back your head. Don't. It just means we'll last. So we have systems today that will not last. One of it being our financial system. Like I said, like, my paranoia, I'm looking at this praying that the Federal Reserve guys are as smart as they've been and they managed to at least, but, you know, when all of the profits are going to, like, Jeff Bezos, you know, because it's like, oh, it's going to the very rich, but it's going to the very rich of the very rich. I benefited from coronavirus, Federal Reserve policies. My 401ks went up. It's just that his went up by a larger amount. Like, not percentage, amount. I don't know. I'll get off that. But, you know, and he's worried about sustainability. He's worried about, if we take the nature too far out of balance, that it's going to cause an extinction level event. And he thinks that we'll be part of the extinct animals. And he's like, look, dude, it's not the planet. The planet, it don't matter what we do, the planet will fix itself. He's walking around Pripyat and Chernobyl going, like, worst ecological disaster of all time. Green, animals everywhere. He's like, what don't you see? People, it's going to be fine without us, but it's going to be without us. We're going to destroy ourselves. And I think that's valid. I don't know that his exact points are valid, but that point is valid. So check out the show. I talked too much. Thanks for listening. Love you. Bye.